curriculum reform itself has a history. And remember, we went fast from the 7-6 2-3 system to 8-4-4, and
yeah.
now there is this new one. It's always a set of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what you think about the arguments that have been advanced, that as the first system was too academic, the second one was producing also white-collar workers, and that we need more skills-based education. What do you think of that? Do you think that is a valid excuse for this, or a valid reason to change the systems, to play around the systems the way we're doing?
First of all, I think we are changing the system to disorient Kenyans. My theory is we are doing it after a generation. When one generation finishes in the system and now starts to ask questions about the education system, we change it. And it's a way of saying, you who were educated in this system, you cannot give back to the other generation. So now we are at a point where the 844s are starting to do very well. They are doing the tech hubs, they are getting Oscars, they are scoring goals in Europe. So they are starting to do well and starting to ask questions about where did I come from in school and how can we improve the system? Then we've changed it again. So my theory is that unless we stop this education system will be replaced in 27 years. In fact, they've kind of started saying that because they said that we have to wait until the kids in standard 3 finish through the system, then that's when we'll think again. I mean, there's been a cycle of system overhaul, and I think it's to disorient Kenyans so that there's no continuous thought, development of thought. We are losing our history this way, and people need history even within the professions because schools cannot teach everything. So the knowledge I gain from experience, I cannot pass it on, because now the students in school are in a different system from what I was, and we have to start saying, well, what were you taught? Well, you know, we have to have that conversation even
but
before.
My point my question is really around the idea that we are educating people for academics to know stuff. ETC, you had the deputy president talk about learning about Vasco da Gama, ETC, but not for practical skills that they would use on an everyday basis to get a job, ETC.
Yeah.
Is there a place for education to either do both, or should it privilege educating people so that when they come out, they can be functional, they can get a job?
Okay, I was getting to that. I was saying first, I think these reforms are a lie.
Right.
I don't think the reason they are giving is what they are saying.
Right.
But now coming to the idea of too academic, too exam-oriented, and too what? First of all, the 7-6-3 system was not too academic. It was for managers because when it started, the idea was to educate Kenyans who would take over from the white people in government. So that was what it was for. It was for managers. But of course, the managerial jobs did not grow as quickly. The number did not grow as quickly as the number of people entering the system. So they didn't want millions of young people saying, I was supposed to be a CS, I was supposed to be, oh, at that time it was PS or minister, where is my job? You don't want highly educated people who are not getting what you promised them. So you change the system. So we go to 844, they tell us they're going to give us practical skills with which we can use when we leave. But the economy was not growing. You see, before it was government that was not growing. Now the economy was not growing. Those jobs, they are telling 844s that now you can create those jobs. They couldn't. The 844s couldn't because, not because they didn't have the skill, by the way. It was because the economy was not growing. It was being looted. The institutions were being run down. So even if graduates wanted to be entrepreneurs, where are they going to get the credit from? You know, who are they going to sell to if customers are not there because they are broke? So now they've changed it again, and they're telling us, okay, now it's not that we want you to be entrepreneurs. We want companies and manufacturers to employ you. Now that's the story of why the education system is changing. But the truth is, manufacturing sector is not growing. Manufacturers are paying crap salaries, sorry to use the word. So basically what we are being told is that when the kids get out of the system, they will go to low paying, demeaning jobs. And because they don't have the humanistic education, we've denied it to them, they will not be able to unionize and say, you know, we want better salaries, we want better working terms, or they won't even be able to question how is government spending their money, because they haven't been given that kind of education. So actually the reforms are in line with the broken promises of the Kenyan elite. Every time a promise looks like it's failing, then we change the system again. So when this system fails in 25 years, we'll be told to change it again.
Yes, I remember that when we were introducing A44, the logic had been 7623 was too academic. Mm-hmm. And I find it quite surprising that it's the same argument being advanced now against
A44.
And from what you have said and how you've articulated the colonial roots of this, does it seem not like we're going back to, again, simply creating workers? But we are saying that we don't want them thinking too much. So if we do create, give them academic skills, that suddenly these are not so important as much as simply getting a job.
Oh, it's so colonial. I've been saying that. It's colonial in those two areas. One, the area of saying we need workers. That is taken from the colonial handbook. Because the colonialists said, we don't want people who are thinking. Africans don't need their minds polluted by ideas. They just need to know how to work. So we are actually borrowing straight from the colonial handbook. But the other more insidious thing we have borrowed is the idea of talent. You will hear people saying some people are not gifted. That's a very dangerous argument to make. Because what will happen is that I'll carry my prejudices, for example, I'll carry them to Kwale where I used to teach. And people used to repeat these things even then, saying that there are some cultures where people are not talented or where people are not academic. Mm-hmm. You're going to start hearing more and more of that, but now the teachers have been given the license to operationalize those prejudices. So the kids of the poor and the marginalized communities are going to be told they are not academically talented. Yeah. So they are all going to be shafted into the technical jobs in the name of God. Mm-hmm. And their tribe, when actually what is happening is a system discrimination. It has nothing to do with talent. It's us who are discriminating against some people.
There's something you wrote on your blog that I wanted to raise. You said, I think the greatest mistake we've made as Kenyans is to believe that everything in education can be addressed by tinkering with the system and nothing else. Yet education by its very nature is a very complex social enterprise. I think, again, the reforms have been reformed the education system. What you seem to be saying is we need much wider sets of reforms. Mm-hmm. What are these? You mentioned a little bit about the economy affecting education. You've spoken about inequality. Could you articulate exactly, for example, social inequality, how it affects education, and why is it we can't reform the education system without thinking about the outside world, the world outside the classroom?
Because, you know, we think that people's performance in academics is affected. It's just about their working hard, about their teachers. So we think that that's the only reason, that's the only thing that affects how kids perform in school. But actually, that accounts for less than 20% of how a child performs. A child's performance is affected by, did they eat breakfast in the morning? You know, what is the state of their family? Are they having troubles at home? How long does it take them to go to school? There are so many other factors that affect education, and we never measure them. We never measure them. We only look at exam results and judge the health of the system by exam results. So we need to start factoring in, we need to start considering those things when we are planning education. But the other things are, is what I've said, we need to diversify how we certify people and how we train them in different careers. We also need to diversify learning opportunities. We need more adult education, more museums, more cultural festivals, more community centers where a community can invite somebody to come and talk about farming, and it's for the community to listen to. We shouldn't restrict all these things to the classroom and the school system. We should, and all we should have libraries, community libraries. By now we should have a library in every county, really, and more. We should have one in every sub-county so that people can go to libraries and research, maybe use the internet to connect with people who are doing the same thing elsewhere in Kenya or elsewhere in the world. So we need to diversify the learning opportunities so that people are not depending so much on the education system for knowledge and for interaction and for learning.
So to go beyond the classroom, basically.
To go beyond the school system.
Right, yeah, yeah. Exactly.